Rebecca Sofer is the co-founder and CEO of Modern Loss, a website focused on eradicating the stigma of discussing what it's really like to live with grief and loss. Sofer lost both of her parents suddenly at a comparatively young age. The site launched last November and has quickly grown an audience. It is full of highly curated storytelling along with practical resources, including an advice column, as well as legal, financial, therapeutic resources. The website is modernloss.com, and Rebecca Sofer joins us this morning on the roundtable. Rebecca, thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you here.
Joe, such a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Normally, this is the point, I would say, what led you to do this, and that comes in the introduction that I just read. It was through the death of your parents within 4 years of each other. Your mother died when you were 30, your father died when you were 34. Both were sudden. And so then what compelled you to say, okay, there's something here that a lot of us are missing?
Right. I mean, that's a really good question, because obviously death is something that will touch all, well, 10 out of 10, as a friend said, it's going to touch all of us, but inevitably loss will hit all of us as well. So you would think that there would have been a lot of resources out there for me when I went through my own deep, deep loss experience. But the fact of the matter is that I found myself struggling first after the death of my mom, who, you know, she was my best friend on earth. And I would like to think that 30 is still pretty young to lose a parent.
Right.
You're really in the thick of it. You're in the thick of all these huge life decisions. You're still evolving as a professional adult. You're still maybe single, as I was, with dreams of getting married, buying a house, having a baby, getting a dog. And I had all of those things still yet to attain in my life when I lost my mom. So I was out there kind of floating through my life after losing her in a car accident, thinking that there must be resources out there for me. But the fact of the matter was that I actually had trouble finding them. I would go to grief support groups for people who had lost parents, and actually I was one of the youngest people in those groups. There were a lot of people who were 50, 60 years old who were talking about being orphans, and here I was, you know, a 30-year-old woman.
Right.
Really having trouble connecting with all the other wonderful people in my support group. I found amazing websites. I mean, there are incredible resources out there for helping people get through, you know, times of loss, but none that really spoke to me as somebody who was, you know, 30 years old. I wasn't an adolescent going through loss, but I wasn't a much older person either. I was somebody who, you know, really needed to read stories talking about how messy the experience really is and showing that in spite of this mess, life could still be, you know, for lack of a better term, awesome. I really needed some encouragement that at age 30, life was still going to be okay and maybe even fantastic in spite of suffering an incredibly profound loss.
But there does have to be that realization, which I think ultimately can only come with time, which is that for a while it's going to suck.
Absolutely. It's going to suck. By the way, Joe, it's going to suck forever.
Sure.
In some way.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's one of the reasons that led me and my co-founder and friend, Gabby Berkner, to create the site, which was we were actually having trouble finding resources that were telling us that, you know what, it's actually going to suck forever and a day.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be really great. And in spite of this extreme loss, it's just an ongoing bittersweet experience. So what we found were a lot of websites that were very, you know, kind of legacy focused. They had like gently flickering e-candles or, you know, heavy filters or these legacy sites that were really depressing, you know, or very clinical sites out there, which, you know, talked about, you know, signs of depression and complicated grief and had us feeling like we were going kind of clinically insane instead of what was really happening, which was just simply we were people living with deep loss, you know. And so we just wanted a site that had a combination of people's real experiences, you know, talking about the mess, the fallout that comes after losing a parent suddenly, losing a sibling after a long illness, losing a husband, God forbid, losing a child, you know. And we knew that there was something out there that was missing for generations X and Y, for lack of a better, you know, generalization, you know, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and maybe even beyond, talking about, you know what, loss is a total mess, and it's going to keep being a mess for the rest of your life. It's not something that, like, they're in a better place or, you know, it takes a year. These were things that people actually said to us. We didn't want to read that. We didn't want to be told that. We didn't want to be, you know, you know, condescended like that. We wanted somebody to say, it's a total mess, but it's going to be okay. I promise, somehow.
One of the things I find fascinating about your work is that I'm the youngest of five kids, and my mother passed when I was 39 years old, and then my father passed about 3 years later. So we can discuss whether that's young or old or not. Meaning being in, you know, in your early 40s.
I say young, but...
thank you. I love you. One of the things that I find interesting about it, though, is that just as you described, people now are tending to have children later. So that this problem, this dilemma, is really starting to present itself to younger people in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 20s, where their parents are passing, even though our longevity is increasing, that still because of being married later in life and having children later in life, that it is happening with greater frequency.
Right. I mean, I think, and that's the situation that I found myself in, which was, you know, maybe, you know, 20 years ago, or maybe in a different part of the country, who knows, or maybe in an alternate reality at 30, I would have found a partner and had children like I wanted to, but that wasn't the case. And I wasn't ready to get married when I was in my 20s and I wanted to, you know, develop myself professionally. So at 30, I found myself single and I found myself without a mom. And then a few years later, I found myself without a dad. And it was this really surreal feeling of kind of free floating through the universe because I felt like I didn't come from anything anymore. There was nothing after me. Instead, I was just kind of this, you know, I didn't have parents, I didn't have children. It's a very meta feeling of just floating and realizing that you're an orphan and still feeling relatively young. And I do feel like increasingly more people are finding themselves in that, maybe not to the extent of losing both their parents before they have children, but definitely losing one parent. And it could be a parent that is their touchstone in life. So going through the experience of becoming a parent when you don't have that parent that you always look to for moral support, that's really tough. And so one of the things that we do on Modern Loss is we have resources and we have personal stories from people who are in this exact situation. And we run their pieces about their experiences dealing with this fallout of, you know, having kids, not having their parents, the struggle that it is, and also the beauty that can come from it, the positive aspects that I think were surprises to them. They thought that it would be a really negative experience having kids without having their parents around. But in fact, you know, it can be surprisingly beautiful. There are pieces on the site about how having children reconnected these people with their parents in ways that they never knew was possible.
And so much of that is opening yourself up to it, of realizing that it's a possibility.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I just think it's really easy to get down. Loss is something that's, you know, it's awful. But the spoiler alert is it's going to happen to all of us. And I think as a society in this country, we don't want to acknowledge that. We are really scared to talk about death. So by extension, we're really scared to address loss. And I think it's something we skirt around at parties, in intimate gatherings, even within intimate friendships and, you know, family dynamics. It's like, for some reason, still a taboo to talk about what it's really like to go through the experience of losing somebody that you love. And I literally don't understand why it's still something that's stigmatized in this culture, because every single person is going to go through it. Some will just go through it earlier than others. So what we did was create a site for this, you know, I think by extension, it appeals to everybody, but particularly people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who, you know, inherently won't have peers who really understand what it's like to go through what they're going through. We wanted to create a resource that said, you know what, we get it. It's fine. There's no judgments. It's all good. We're here for you.
One of the things that I was struck by when my mother died was that, why isn't everybody talking about this? It's fascinating because you're absolutely right. Nobody really mentions that horrible feeling. And one of the things that I found interesting by way of being on the radio and talking to people for a living, people get to know you and they write you notes. My dog passed away. I received probably 200 or 300 notes. Really sweet. My mother passed away, and I received about 40 notes.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anything other than I find that interesting because I think we're less willing to talk about that and relate to it mm-hmm. than we are with the passage of a pet.
Yep. I totally. Well, I think that the passage of a pet is something it's like, you know, I'm a dog person. I believe dogs are people, too.
Yeah. Which, by the way, kudos people. For you for including that on your site.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the more if anyone is listening there out there and wants to submit a piece about their pet, by all means, because we pet, let me tell you, my dog got me through the darkest days of my
sure.
entire life. I actually brought her to my father's Shiva because I didn't want to be without her. So, you know, do with that information whatever you will.
So the dog sat Shiva
yep,
with you?
Yep, the dog
That's
sat
great.
Shiva with me and it was fabulous. But, you know, people just don't. I think that this is only my perspective. I don't know, you know, anything. I'm not an expert in anything other than I've gone through it. So I can only speak about my own experience. People are scared to address death. They're scared to offer condolences for the most part beyond, you know, I'm sorry for your loss. They're scared to ask, how are you doing? And really mean it. My experience is that people are scared to address issues of loss and grief with somebody directly encountering those issues because it's like it's contagious and it's like it reminds them that it's going to happen to them and they'd rather be blissfully ignorant. I can't really blame them. Because who wants to go around thinking about their own demise? And I don't mean to be like, you know, the arbiter of bad news. But as I mentioned, it's going to happen to all of us. So I don't understand why this can't just be a comfortable part of the fabric of our conversation
right.
in this country, in this culture. Because if you are comfortable talking about it, then when it does happen to you, when you do lose somebody, that means that society will be more comfortable helping you through your loss. And you won't feel so isolated. Wouldn't that be great? So we're just really trying to rip away this taboo.
Rebecca Sofer is the CEO and co-founder of the website Modern Loss, which you can find at modernloss.com. I do have to ask you about circumstance, because I was fascinated by the story of you and your co-founder,
mm-hmm, Gabby.
Gabby, who had a horrible story because her parents were murdered.
Her father and her stepmother. Mm-hmm.
Now, does that bring up a whole separate range of issues? I mean, obviously, loss is loss. You lost your father
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also just all of the, well, your father had a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
my mother had a stroke.
Right.
Like we can process that.
Mm-hmm.
The other is really hard to process.
Absolutely. And I certainly can't speak for her. I cannot even imagine what it must have been like to go through that. She's one of the strongest women I've ever met in my entire life, as you would have to be to survive and thrive through something like that. But that's the game that we all play, which is, oh, I can't even imagine. And you compare, you know, oh, this person lost their daughter. I can't even imagine. It must have been awful. You know, and you say, and then you make apologies saying, I only lost my mom. I mean, I was supposed to lose my mom. So it shouldn't hurt that badly. I think that on the site, it's like we're all on the same playing ground here. We are all experiencing profound, profound loss. We've all lost somebody that we really love. And sometimes it's someone that we have a really complicated relationship with. And, you know, I want to allude to that because I don't want to pretend that, you know, anytime someone experiences the death of someone that they love, it's like a deep love and, you know, experience of missing them. Sometimes it's someone who you didn't have closure with. You know, it could be a parent that you really didn't get along with, or it could be a sibling you didn't really get along with, and you had all these unresolved issues. There's a lot of mess that comes out of it. That's what we allude to. And in terms of what you just mentioned about, you know, Gabby and that traumatic loss of murder, yeah, it's awful. And what we try and do on the site is talk about every single possible permutation and combination of loss.
Right.
And there is a bottomless pot of coffee, and we certainly have not reached even the mid-level of it in our mere 1 year of being online.
Since that year of being online, you have been written up in Washington Post and the New York Times and several other national publications. And the crux of most of those articles is that there's your website, there are a few others like it,
mm-hmm.
there are groups out there. But what they all have in common and what the points of the pieces are, is there are a lot of people who are searching for this information, that there are a lot of people who are in need of looking for some sort of guidance in that time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that, you know, we certainly did not reinvent the wheel here. There are many wonderful resources out there, both online and off, helping people through the grieving process, which to me, I'd like to say that I don't necessarily define myself as a grieving person. I went through grief. I live with grief, but I define myself as someone who is living with loss. And that's why it's called Modern Loss, because the site is, it recognizes that loss has a very long arc. It lasts the rest of your life, and it triggers in many ways throughout the rest of your life, in ways expected and unexpected. And we're talking during the holiday season where, you know, it's one trigger after another, most likely for a lot of people. But for us, what we wanted was a combination of people's real stories. You know, we have stories on the site ranging from what does one call himself after he loses a very long-term partner and they never got married. So is he a widower? Is he a widow? You know, after his partner of 25, 30 years passes away, what does he call himself? Or what is it like to receive an email from the school district reminding you to sign your daughter up for kindergarten? Well, do you know what it's like to receive an email like that, knowing that your daughter died 2 years ago and you're still on the school district email list? Or what's it like to check out Google Earth, you know, as we all do? We all look at our childhood homes, at least I do. Look them up, just make sure that everything is like still standing. What's it like to look up your childhood address and see a satellite shot of your father mowing the lawn? And surprise, surprise, he actually died 6 months ago. But that was the last time that the satellite took an image of your front lawn. So we run all of those stories. And they're not just, you know, we don't think the site is a depressing one. We actually think it's a very uplifting one because it's stories of thriving in spite of this. It's stories that are very humorous. There's a lot of humor that comes out of loss, and there is no way to get through it otherwise. If you cannot laugh at the inane aspects of the fallout of loss, you've got nothing. You know, you have to find the humor in it somehow. But there's also a lot of complications. Technology throws a wrench in everything. Yeah, as I just mentioned, with the Google Earth satellite images, with the reminders to sign up for kindergarten, with, you know, the Facebook streams, finding out that your dad passed away in a car accident, and you're the last person to find out because everybody on Facebook knew, because someone posted it, because it was reported on local news, and you just didn't have internet access for the last 6 hours. These are all very real stories that are online, and I think on our site. And that's why I think we've grown an audience, because we're running really real stories about the mess of it all. And we're there for you. We're there to share in the mess. And also, in addition to your stories, we're going to offer you resources. We have an advice column that I think is personally phenomenal. It's written by a woman named Meg Tansey. I would like to go to her for all the advice I ever need for the rest of my life in general. And it's about everything. I mean, we had a holiday piece about, you know, how do I toe the line between respecting my husband's need to be sad during the holidays because he was in a long-term relationship with someone before we met and she died suddenly, and he gets somber over the holidays, but I want to celebrate over the holidays. And, you know, how do I give a gift to somebody, a best friend who suddenly lost a parent a month ago? Is it really inappropriate to give, you know, a set of headphones? Is that super insensitive, or is it great? Is it a good distraction? I mean, we have just these really practical advice pieces that we offer, in addition to legal and financial and therapeutic resources. So it's kind of this umbrella for the loss experience. You can come to us whenever you want. You can come to us once a year. You can come to us every day. We're always there. We're always on. We're evergreen. And that's what we hope to do is really draw people out of their isolation by offering real stories, and then also by extension, help other people understand what it is like to live with loss, so that when a friend or a family member or a coworker goes through it themselves, they know how to better reach out to them. And maybe the next time you would get 200 letters instead of 40.
Right. It seems like there's just those, you were talking about these things that are bizarre but there's commonalities. People find commonalities in it. And I know for me, I use my mother's phone number as my CVS card. Mm-hmm. And now, because of that, I always get these messages in my email box that say, "Hey, Eleanor, you're due for $17 worth of savings because you've used the card." And every time I delete it and then I'm sad, and then I don't do anything about it because in some weird way it's nice to get those and
absolutely
to see her name.
It's a bittersweet
in print.
Experience.
Recently there's this whole thing with Facebook and the year in review and putting in because it's based on the amount of likes and response that you get. And unfortunately, it said, "Hey, it's been a great year," and they show pictures of dead relatives. And it's tough stuff with technology kind of worming its yeah way into the grief process.
Yeah, I mean, let's call it what it is, which is creepy. It's creepy. The internet it's amazing. I mean, on the one hand, if the internet didn't exist, I certainly wouldn't be sitting here talking to you
right
about the website that we launched to help people, you know, deal with grief and loss. And, you know, by extension, it's really great to get likes and comments when you really are going through a tough time.
Absolutely.
You can use Facebook, you can use Twitter, you can
right
say, "Here's a photo of my mom. I love this image." And you just force people to bear witness to the fact that this is somebody you really loved and you lost them and you want them to know what they meant to you. And if they make a comment or they like your comment, that's really great. It does provide what I think is a short-lived comfort. And I've spoken about this before as it being kind of like a little packet of refined sugar that you down it and it makes you feel good for a little bit, but then it's over. It's through everybody's stream. Everybody is now reading about, like, I don't know, what's going on in North Korea or, like, you know, some other news story, because
right
it's this unfiltered stream and it's mind-boggling. So, you know, the flip side to technology is that you have all the control in the world to put anything that you want out there. You can say, "I'm having a tough time." You can say, "It's my mother's birthday. I'm thinking of her." You can say whatever you want. But that means that you have no control about what's coming your way either. You're sitting there looking at Facebook and you're seeing all these triggers. On Mother's Day, you're seeing everybody's photos with their moms. "You lost your mom. That totally sucks." Or your daughter or your son or some other awful, awful type of loss that you're living with. You have no control over what's crossing through your stream or arriving on your phone via text or coming up in your LinkedIn suggestions. I'm telling you, to this day, for some ungodly reason, I have no idea why LinkedIn still insists that I connect with my mother.
Oh.
And I literally thought I closed her account like 6 times. And it's really tough. It triggers your grief over and over. And by extension, I feel like it forces people to die over and over and over again, because in some dark corner of the internet, they're still alive. You open up an email to send on Gmail and it says, "Hey, why don't you add your dead friend?" Because you're so used to sending them the message, it's like cached into their
right
their system. And it gets very, very messy. And so I think that it's a mess that we're still trying to figure out how to live with. I don't have any answers at all, except for to say that this is a real mess. It's really messes with our heads. And so that's one of the things that we try and do on the site is shine a light on that mess so that people understand that, you know, this is something, technology is really great, but it also is very tricky. And so maybe think just for a second before you post something or before you like something. You know, when someone posts that their mom dies, maybe you don't like the post. Maybe you actually write a nice comment, be audacious, pick up the phone and call
right
them. What we hope is that the internet and technology serves as more of a trigger to more thoughtful and meaningful action. It's a platform for awareness, but it shouldn't be the only channel that you use to offer comfort to somebody living with loss. And so this Facebook situation that we're talking about is, yeah, Facebook suggested that you post how amazing your year was, and it pulls up this slideshow of the posts that were most liked. But as we were just saying, some of those posts that were most liked were because they were awful experiences that we had. And there was this piece written by this man a couple days after the Facebook slideshow went viral that he was like, thanks a lot. You know, it was really great to see photos of my dead daughter all over my year in review. Because those are the posts that, you know, were most meaningful to people. Right. And so that's what I talk about when I talk about the lack of control that we have. There are no answers, but it is something that we should be aware of. And maybe just by being aware of it, we will figure out how to incorporate technology into the grief process in a less agita-ridden way.
ModernWoss.com and very important work. Again, ModernWoss.com. Rebecca Sofer is the co-founder and CEO. Rebecca, thanks so much for sharing with us. Best of luck with your great work.
Thank you so much for having me.
A
this was
pleasure.
Such an honor.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.